Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the great apostle Paul, who had more revelation of you than probably any other man. And we pray, Lord, that that revelation knowledge that he wrote down so long ago would come and be a reality in our mind and in our heart today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Wow, this is a chapter about safety, right? How many of you guys have smoke detectors in your home? Yeah, you should, right? I think the Bible's a pretty good smoke detector, don't you? And he said, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Is there any other way to worship God? Jesus told Nicodemus that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so Paul is saying here, we're the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. See, there is the circumcision in Paul's days. The Jews that weren't saved, weren't born again, they were worshiping God in the flesh, because that's all they knew. They do their hands for Yahweh. That's where Leonard Nimoy got the Vulcan thing. You know, he peeked as a kid in a Jewish synagogue and saw the priests doing Yahweh, and so now us nerds do it, but it's Yahweh. It's not live long and prosper. Amen. And so we're not Jews of the flesh, we're in the Spirit. We worship God in spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus and having no confidence in the flesh. What does that mean, having confidence in the flesh? It means trusting in what I do, right? Having no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now, this is really cool. I love Paul. Paul is a cool man. They didn't say cool in his days, but I'm just telling you, he's cool. Because, you know, he's talking to these guys, and you know, the Jewish rabbis were pretty egotistical, you know. And they would debate all day long. Well, Rabbi so-and-so says this. Yeah, but Rabbi Big Bottom says this. And, you know, and they go back and forth with all their theological arguments. And Paul is trying to set them straight here. If anybody has a right to brag, it's me. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Here's a man who said, He was actually keeping the law. Now, is it possible a person could keep the law? It is possible, because Paul says he was blameless. But, you know, keeping the law blamelessly still didn't save you. Because you have to not just keep the law outwardly, you have to have motives behind it that are pure. And we know that nobody can have pure motives because of the wickedness of our heart. So on the outward he was blameless, but he was still a big rotten sinner. Amen. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, what does he mean, what things were gained to me? He spent his entire life, from as early as he could remember, studying to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a doctorate, what today we would call a doctorate in Jewish theology. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and concerning the law, he was blameless. He had all of those letters after his names, like you see people, you know, PhD and LLD and FUD and all that stuff. Elmer, FUD, Elmer, Bud, anyway, yeah. So he was the most educated sinner in religious circles. And when he found Jesus, he said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Loss for Christ. In other words, he took all of those letters, all of those scrolls of letters of recommendation and diplomas of doctorates, and he said, "Man, this is worthless. This means nothing in God's eyes." And it really doesn't. I think it's in 1 Corinthians it says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." And you know, sometimes you can really put yourself in a dangerous place by like learning so much of the Bible without having the Spirit with it. Because then you can think, well, you know, I'm the man that knows the Bible, you know, or whatever. Without the Spirit, without love, Paul said, "I could speak with the men of tongue of men and angels and have not love." It's clinking brass and sounding cymbal, right? And so he says, "All of this was nothing. I counted all loss for Christ. I threw it all away for Jesus. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me." What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Well, remember, that's what Jesus was crucified on. So if we put it in modern vernacular, it would be like, pick up your electric chair and head toward the outlet. Right? Head toward the 220. Take the syringe of lethal injection and roll up your sleeve. I mean, that's what that's saying. Take up your cross and follow me. Die. Die to yourself. Die to your ambitions. Die to your ego. Count it all loss. "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." The loss of all things. "And count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." So, everything I learned, Paul said, about being righteous served me nothing. And I threw it all away to gain the true righteousness of God that I gained through faith. Wow. Pretty powerful stuff, Paul. Kind of makes your head spin sometimes when you think about it. That everything I aspire to be, I gain it through loss and faith. I gain it through surrender and faith. I gain it through throwing out what I know and embracing who I know. Faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Wait a minute. That's like hearing a pastor say, you know, "I hope I get saved." Wait a minute. Pastor, aren't you saved? Well, of course I'm saved, and Paul was saved. But then he says that I may know him. I thought you already knew Jesus. Didn't you meet him on the road to Damascus? Apparently he doesn't know him enough. You know what? I don't know him enough. We don't know him enough. We need to know him more. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death." Verse 9, he said, be found in him. It's one thing to be found in the church. Where's Roger at this time of morning? It's Sunday morning. He's in church. Where's Rick at? Well, is he fishing? No, he's in church. Well, that's okay. But church won't save you. Faith fellowship can't save you. R.W. Shambach used to say, if you have your name on a roll or shake a preacher's hand, you might as well write your name on a barn door and shake a donkey's tail. If you're going to heaven, you must be born again. Church can't save you, and shaking a preacher's hand can't save you. So being in church won't do it. Being found in him will. See, I can be in church but not be in Christ, but I can be in Christ and not be in church. Amen? So which would you rather be in? Well, I want to be in both because I need my fellowship and I need the word. But above all, I want to be in Christ. Amen? I want to be found in him. Who's looking for you? Well, Jesus is looking for you. Where is he looking? He's looking in himself. Is there a Roger in me somewhere? I want to be found in him. Amen? I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be found in him. Hallelujah. And how am I found in him? By faith. Not by works. Paul lined that all out. By faith. By trusting in Jesus. By faith and faith alone. And then in verse 10, he wants to know him. That I may know him. We talked about in Sunday school how it is the Spirit that reveals these to us. And so we have to be connected by the Spirit to know him. And we all want the power, but oftentimes we don't want the suffering. But Paul wants both because Paul is smarter than me and you. We dodge the suffering. Oh, Lord, what are you doing to me? And Paul says, I want it all, man. I want the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and I want to be conformed. I want to look like he looked when he died, being conformed to his death. Well, you know, what does that mean? Well, we know what he looked like. He was all beaten and the crown of thorns on his head, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a surrendered life. See, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he surrendered to the will of the Father. And when I say being conformed to his death, that I may be found in him and have the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, it means living a surrendered life like Jesus did and letting God have the last word in everything. Everything. In verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Attain to the resurrection of the dead. The word attain means succeed in achieving something that one desires and has worked for. Well, we just said you're not working for this, and yet attain means getting something you've worked for. So, Paul, what are you talking about here? That you may attain to the resurrection of the dead. It's not work, but attain means getting what you work for. Is it work? Is it faith? What are you talking about, Paul? Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, here's the verse that really throws you. I want to get what Jesus already got for me. Well, if Jesus already got it for me, how can I get it? Can I read this verse again now that everybody's thoroughly confused? Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Let me just read a couple more verses, and we'll go back. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to go back and I want to read verses 12, 13, and 14 out of the Living Bible. That confusing verse 12, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, I press on that I may lay hold on that which Christ has already laid hold of me. Okay, here we go, Living Bible. I don't mean to say I'm perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. You see, it's about the goal. Here's God's image of what He wants you to be, and then you press on to be what He wants you to be. Amen? See, we have a free will. So here's the outline of what I want you to be, Roger. I want you to be this, and I want you to be that, and I want you to be this. And you're not that yet, but I'll help you, but you have certain responsibilities in there. And your responsibilities are to press in and press on and become all that I want you to be. All that Christ has laid hold of. Jesus paid the price for me to be another Wigglesworth, another, you know, great saint of God, these heroes of faith. And it's my responsibility to fulfill what God has called me to be. Are you with me? No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. I strive. I'm forgetting the past. I'm striving to be the man, the woman of God God called us to be. And so I ask you again, is it work or is it faith? It's not work, but it is work. It's not justified by works, but it's striving to be what God wants me to be. Amen. I'm not trusting in my striving. My salvation is all in Christ. Amen. But I don't want to just be one of those people who gets saved and sits on the pew until Jesus comes. I ran into an older gentleman this week. This is what motivated this sermon. And we were talking, and he said, you know, my daughter asked me, you know, sometimes people, they bring you these questions out of the blue, and you kind of look at them like, huh? You know, we're talking about spiritual things. And my daughter asked me, is Adam and Eve in heaven? And I said, oh, well. And so I explained to him how, you know, the bosom of Abraham and the righteous died there, and Jesus, after the crucifixion, descended to the bosom of Abraham, preached himself, because prior to the cross, nobody was in heaven, and he led captivity captive, and he brought them all out of the bosom of Abraham and set them free and took them to heaven. And you know what this guy said to me, this older guy? He goes, well, you know, and I'm picturing, like, even though he's older, I just guess wasn't really thinking about it. I'm thinking maybe a teenage girl. He goes, well, my daughter's 45. And he goes, and I don't really even care about whether I answer or not. That doesn't even matter to me. And what he was saying is, I'm saved, and I'm happy being ignorant. I don't really care. In fact, he said something like, you know, ignorance is bliss, and I don't really care. Okay, all right. And it was then that I realized that there is a lot of people like that in churches. See, they're not striving to attain to anything. They've got their salvation and they're secure and they're just sitting on the pew and waiting for Jesus to come. But the joys that they forfeit by not being all that Jesus wants them to be. Now, this is all great. We could just go home right there, except the problem is, how do I attain? How do I attain? See, Paul gave us the answer in our text. He said, I want to attain. I want to work and attain what Jesus died for me to have. I want to be all he wants me to be. And we know, because we have an enemy of our soul, that he does not want me to attain. Amen? If attaining was easy, everybody could do it. But hell doesn't want you to attain. Satan doesn't want you to attain. Demons don't want you to attain. Some of your family don't want you to attain. They may say, well, you know, you just need to calm down, not get too spiritual or religious, right? They don't want you to attain. The whole worldly system doesn't want you to attain. And as you get closer to God, the farther you'll get from the world and the less friends you'll have because you're trying to attain. And so Paul says, here's how you attain. And he says, press on, lay hold, and then one more thing, forgetting the things that are behind. We understand the press on. You know, we go to church, we read our Bible, we pray. What are we doing this week? The same thing we did last week. We're pressing on. We go to church, we read our Bible, we pray. We go to prayer meeting. We go to pizza and the Word. We go to singing. We prepare Christmas programs. We press on. We press on. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes our old body doesn't want to get out of bed, but we press on. Amen? And we lay hold. We quote the Word. We claim the Word. We grab the Word. We hold on to the Word. We stand on the Word. We lay hold. But the real enemy of attaining is sometimes our past. Because the devil loves to remind us of our past. When he reminds me of my past, I remind him of his future. Amen? He said, I look forward to what's ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race, the prize. So, but first I have to forget the past. Now the question is, how far back do I go? When I think of the past, I think about things that people did to me years ago. People that hurt me. People that disappointed me. I think about past hurts 25 years ago. Is 25 far enough? Should we go farther? Some of us are older than others. 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 weeks ago. But sometimes we don't even think about the 5 days and the 5 minutes ago. We get so focused on, well, I got to forget the past. I'm talking about the old past. And there's this voice in my head saying, I can't believe he said that to me yesterday. And we don't think of that as our past. We think of that as, I can't believe he did that to me yesterday. But if I'm going to attain, I have to forget the 5 minutes ago, too. I have to get past what someone did yesterday, what someone did this morning, what someone did an hour ago. I want to attain, and to attain, I forget all of the past. I have been guilty of having trouble letting go of offenses. In fact, Carolyn reminded me of that recently. And I'm glad she reminded me, because, like, she's right. I got to let go. I tell you what, I suffer the same flesh. I'm in the same flesh you are in. Amen? And I have to let go. I had this incident with this copier sales guy. Ticked me off. Everything he gave me was wrong. I told you guys about this weeks ago. And I told Caroline, I said, I think he's going to do the training in Muskogee. And if he's doing it, I ain't going. She goes, why don't you let go, Roger? Oh, yeah. I need to let go. I need to get rid of that chip. I need to forget it. How can I attain if I don't let go? How can I attain if I don't forgive? How can I attain if I don't forget? I have to attain. It's impossible to effectively run forward while looking backwards. I was going to do an illustration like this and then fall off the stage, but I'd probably break something, so you're going to have to picture that in your head. Because illustrations, you don't forget illustrations. Okay. I want you to remember this. So, I should do the Dick Van Dyke theme song, right? Fall off. Wow. No. Nothing to trip over. For you guys who don't know what Dick Van Dyke is, I'm sorry. You know. All right. It is impossible to effectively run forward while looking backwards. right? If you are trying to attain something in front of you, you will never reach out and get it looking backwards. Yeah. Any man who puts his hand to a plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom, Jesus said. Here's a quote by C.S. Lewis. Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. Isn't that cool? Another quote by someone anonymous. To heal your wound, you need to stop touching it. I thought that was pretty cool. Quit touching it. Don't touch it. Advice from Mom. Colossians 3:2 tells us, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I cannot say, Jesus, I love you, while I'm saying, I hate what he did or she did. James tells us, out of the same well proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Straight on. When I have trouble going shopping with Carolyn if I'm in a hurry. Because there is no straight on. There is a, oh, look at that. Isn't that cute? We're supposed to be there in 10 minutes. Okay, all right, hang on. Isaiah 26:3. Most of us can quote this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And really, trust is the paramount thing. If I trust God, then I can let go of the past knowing that he has it. Amen. Forgetting those things. Many people, due to their past, are haunted by inner voices. I was reading up on this. It's really interesting. Psychologists can only take you so far. They're good people. They mean well. They can take you so far. If you're neglected as a child, your inner voices may be voices of insecurity, like nobody loves me or I'm not important. If you were abused as a child, your inner voices may be low self-esteem, like I can't do this or that or I'm worthless. And these are real things. These are not to be taken light of. These haunt people. And a lot of times it is because of your past. And so that's about as far as psychologists will go. They tell you, well, you know, you got to learn to speak to those inner voices. And that's really spiritual warfare is what it is. But we know we speak the word over it, right? When those thoughts come, we do spiritual battles. We say, you know, when it says, if I'm insecure and it says, nobody loves me, you say, well, Jesus loves me. This I know. Well, the Bible tells me so, you know, or whatever. And we counteract those voices with the Word of God, with confessions of faith, proclamations. I love a story that Chuck Swindoll, how many of you guys ever listened to Chuck Swindoll before? Great, great Bible teacher. He was talking about when he was at Bible college. And one of his friends there in Bible college had a giant red birthmark that covered half his face. And they were good friends, and they would often eat in the cafeteria together at the seminary. I don't know if this was Dallas Theological Seminary or where. I don't remember. But finally one day he said, man, I just got to ask you. He said, you seem like you have it all together. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but have you ever, like, felt insecure, or have you ever had these feelings of something? You know, you got this giant red birthmark covering half your face. And the guy said, it's okay, it's all right, I don't mind talking about it. He said, I've had this all my life, and as early as I can remember, my father used to tell me how special I was, and how God sent this angel to give me a big old giant kiss when I was born. And he said every day he reinforced how special I was. And by the time I got to school where kids would make fun of me, he said, I felt sorry that none of them had one like me. Isn't that beautiful? And so, it is not so much what has happened to me in the past. It is all about attaining what Christ has for me in the future. Amen? What happened in my past is my past, but my destiny lies in the future with Jesus Christ. My destiny does not lie in the past, it lies in the future with Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph, the dreamer, Genesis chapter 45 to 50, he had a vision of the future. I think many of us sometimes have visions of the future. In Habakkuk, it says, write down the vision and make it clear. And you hear people of great success are people who set goals for themselves, right? And sometimes God sets goals for us. And Joseph, he gave him a dream that the sun and moon, 11 stars, would bow down and worship him. This was not a dream of the past. It was a dream of the future. I shared with you last week that I had a dream 12 years ago. I didn't know it was my future granddaughter that was giving me a tour of heaven. It's a dream of the future. How exciting is that? You don't have to have a dream like Joseph, because here is our vision of the future right here. It tells us who we are in Christ, what God wants us to do and be. And God wants us to attain. Our text is to attain what Christ has attained for us. That vision that God gave us of the man or woman of God he wants us to be, he wants us to attain to that. And you talk about a past. Joseph certainly had a past. I can't help but wonder if any one of us, myself included, could have been like Joseph knowing what he went through. I can deal with a lot of things. I hate being falsely accused of something I didn't do. I don't mind owning something I did, but it just makes me mad when someone claims I did something that I didn't do. And here Potiphar's wife is really accusing him of something he didn't do, and he goes to jail for it. Talk about an opportunity to get bitter and mad and angry. And on top of that, his brothers sold him to these flea market maniacs coming by with a wagon, and he got carried away and sold. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. He's in jail. Here's an opportunity for somebody to look back and get bitter. But praise God for Joseph. He gave us the example. You know, every one of these people in the Bible, we look at them and go, well, it was Joseph, you know, and or that was Daniel, and, you know, God had a special anointing, and so they were perfect. I've been listening to a lot of J. Vernon McGee, and he was talking about how all sin and even the guys in the Old Testament, you know, and this young minister came up to him and said, Brother McGee, I think I got you. He said, Daniel never sinned. And in that J. Vernon McGee accent, yeah, well, by golly, you're right, you know. And he would have had us all clueless if he hadn't opened his mouth, because two times in his prayer, he said, I have sinned, and he got the guy, you know. Yeah, okay, well, Daniel, you got to write him off. And though we don't see Joseph sinning, we know he was not perfect. He sinned. The Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passion, meaning he had the same hang-ups as you and I, but he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it rained. So all these characters are sinners, but Joseph showed us what attaining looks like. We have an example of someone who attained. And he had the opportunity to be bitter in jail and look back and rehearse the pain of his brothers and the pain of Potiphar's wife. But instead, he just waited. See, there's where the attaining comes. Because God gives us long tests. We're almost out of time. I'll try to wrap this up. God gives us long tests because you really don't pass the test until you pass the test of time. Anybody can fake it for a while. Anybody can fake it for a while. When Deborah left me, I pinned up verses and was quoting the word for a while. And after a while, I ripped them down and got a little bitter. Didn't pass the test. Had to repent. The test of time really shows what you are made of. And in jail, Joseph just waited on God. That's how you attain. Those that wait on the Lord will what? Renew their strength. You know, I can be weak. I can be frustrated. I can be tempted to look back. But if I can just keep my mouth shut and my eyes open and wait on God, I will attain. And so what's the magic word for prison time waiting? Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Can I read that again? This is Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. One more time. Trust in the Lord for a week. Oh, no, that's not what it says. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So when I am in that place that I want to attain, and the devil says, you aren't going to attain. You're not going to be all that God's called you to be. I've got some things for you, boy. I'm going to cause some heartache in your life, and you're going to get bitter, and you're not going to attain anything. You're going to be a has-been. And then I'm going to say, okay. I heard Brother Roger talk about this. Trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I think I'll just wait on the Lord. Devil, I think I'll just wait on the Lord. And so, this great Apostle Paul, I want to read it one more time. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This Paul, who wrote these words, wrote them from a resort in Tahiti. No, he wrote them in a jail. Man, that gives me goosebumps. He wrote them in a jail. Would to God that we could be like Paul. That when we are at our lowest place, we say, I'm pressing on. I'm going to attain. I'm going to be all that God has called me to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Nola. I guess if I say I want to be like Apostle Paul, I'm going to be spending some time in jail. Good. We could. We don't know where this is all going to end. We are certainly living in the last days. And I want to attain, don't you? I don't know, you know, God has a plan for my life. The devil has a plan for my failure. I know who's winning. I read the back of the book. I'm going to attain. How many want to attain this morning and be everything Jesus called us to be? Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, today, we, the body of Christ at Faith Fellowship Church, this little church in this little town in northeastern Oklahoma, with more empty chairs than full ones, we choose to attain. We choose to possess the land. We choose to be all that God has called us to be. And we're willing to wait, and we choose not to look back. And we choose to let go because we know, Lord, that if you have so much confidence in us, that you have designed an image for us to be, and then called us to grow and to be that image. If you have that much confidence in us, we know, Lord, by your grace and strength, we not only can attain, but we will attain. We will attain. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, let the Son of God